Morning. When you think of a friend, what do you think about? We sing the song, "My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do." There are friends that we have in this life, and there are friends that we have in this life. There are two kinds of friends, three kinds of friends, actually. I don't think any friend can be any closer to us than what God can be to us. And I don't think we can be any closer to any of our friends on this earth than what we should be to God. God should be the closest friend we have. What do you think about when you think of a friend? A couple of definitions of a friend that I looked up were, one of them is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically exclusive of family relations or sexual. I have many friends in this life. I have a friend, she's called my wife. Ooh, that rhymed, I didn't know that. No, I have a friend, she's called my wife. I have a different bond of friendship with her than what I do with my other friends. But yet they are my friends. But they don't rely on me for the same things that she does. The affection, the hugs, the honey I love yous. If I told most of my friends, honey, I love yous, they probably wouldn't be my friends for very long. That ain't something you say to a technician. Okay? So we're going to stop right there. But it's exclusive of family relations. I have a closer bond with my family, some of my family members, than I do with some of my friends at work. Okay, but they're still considered friends. Another definition is, in a person you value above other friends in your life, some you have fun with, someone you trust, and one in whom you can confide. The first person you call when you get good news or just want to go get a bite to eat with. Thought about that one a little bit because Steve and I consider Steve and I close friends. We're cousins, but yeah, we're close friends. We spent a lot of time together when we lived in Indianapolis, and I think we're actually stronger now that we're not close to each other because we enjoy the time together. So I think maybe I should send my wife to Indiana for 6 months. No, I'm just joking. Then when she comes back, we'll be closer because we've been apart. No, I'm just joking. I won't do that. But there were many times when Steve and I just needed to get away, just needed to talk, just needed to be friends, not be cousins, be friends. And if anybody's been to Indianapolis, if you drive around Indianapolis on I-465, it's approximately 60 miles from the time you get on to if you got back off the same spot. That's roughly 1 hour if you drive the speed limit. If you drive in the third lane, it's 85 miles an hour, so it wouldn't be an hour. They have three lanes of highway, 65, 75, 85, and who knows what the other lane is. That's the one the cops use. I don't know. But you could get on that highway, and we always joke, Steve and I joke, that it's time to go get a pirate's dozen of chicken planks. Because we would go get a pirate's dozen of chicken planks from Long John Silver's, and they don't sell them anymore, I've asked. You'd actually get 13 of them in there. We never fought over who got the 13th one. We'd split it in half. No. But we would take off driving, and we would just drive around the city, and we would talk. And by the time we got back around, we were probably done talking, and we'd work through whatever we were trying to work through. But sometimes you just needed to be that. Now, I don't know too many of my friends that I could probably call up and say, hey, let's drive around 465 for an hour. They wouldn't want to do it. But Steve and I had a bond that we would do. We liked to do that. Made me think about this week. I made a Facebook comment, and I put, some days you just got to get the crayons and the coloring book and climb up on the timeout chair before you get in trouble. And Mary Ellen sent back a response. She was confused why I would say something like that. Well, I wasn't around my true friends in the church. I was around my friends at work. And it was a bad couple of first days of this week, not because of anything I did, but just because of the stress level. We're starting a new computer system, and they're requiring a lot more of us technicians, and you just can't throw an old dog new tricks. It's got to take a little time. And boy, when you mess something up, they're all over you about it. They don't have any patience. And so there came a time when I just had to say, I think it's time for me to climb up off the timeout chair, because I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. And that's why I said it, Mary Ellen. That's, you know, if I'd had you sitting there in the truck next to me, I probably wouldn't have had to do that. course, you may not have been able to talk. It's the way I was driving. But anyway, you need a friend. But I could not go to my friends at work and talk to them because I just don't feel close enough to them. So I had to vent one way or the other. But then again, there is a difference between the friends I have sitting here today in the church. I mean, they're good friends. They'll go with me wherever I want to go and do whatever I want to do. But yet, I can't think of any one of you that volunteered to lay down on the operating table three times in the last 3 years and say, okay, Doug, I'll take the surgery for you. I don't even think my cousin Steve would have done that. But that's not what friends do. Friends can't do that for you. They wouldn't have been able to do that. But they're still my friends. But they did pray for me and they did care for me. You know, a friend will follow you as you go through every day. So when you go through your everyday struggles, a friend is there with you. He knows you're there to talk to him. You know that he's there to talk to you. Who is closer to us than God? We can talk to God anytime we want, right? And God's going to listen. All we have to do is go to God. And God's not going to say, oh, wait a minute, let me call you back. Nothing aggravates me more than to call somebody to ask them a question and let me call you back. Because I can guarantee they ain't going to call me back. They're going to get busy, they're going to forget, and I'm going to have to call them back. Okay? I don't think God's ever tells you, hold on a minute, I'm working with this guy over here. I'll be with you later. God doesn't do that to us. What is a true friend? A true friend, Christ had a lot of friends when he walked this earth. Closest disciples were his friends. His apostles were the friends. But yet they forsook him and fled when times got tough. But yet there was also one that was willing to cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Okay? That would have been what a true friend would be to me. Somebody that's willing to go to bat for me and do what needs to be done. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 23. I'm going to read the whole thing, but there's only a couple of verses I'm going to pull out of this because for some reason, these couple of verses here, just for some, they do something for me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To me, this is a positive scripture about a friend. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We all know it. We can recite it probably if we tried hard enough. But the ones that get me that I look at, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But then the one I like is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does God do for us? He makes us comfortable. He delivers us. He leads us beside the still waters. Can any of my friends guarantee me that? I don't think so. They can maybe give me that warm fuzzy, but they can't make me feel comfortable, and they can't make me feel like I'm walking beside still waters. Only God can do that, if we allow Him to. Now, I'm not going to change the scriptures. If I do, throw something at me. But I like to think about that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What if we threw the word temptations in there? Because I necessarily think about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But every day I walk through the valley of the shadow of temptations. Do I not? Anybody that's in here that doesn't do that, let me know, because I want to know how they do it. Because I can't walk out of my front door without having the valley of shadow of temptations. Trust me. I got 3 dogs that tear up trash like it's, I don't know what it is. I can clean my, and Tim probably hates me. I don't blame him. I can clean up my yard. The next day, I don't know where these dogs find it. They got a scuttle hole somewhere they can get in my garage, and they'll drag trash out. Jason moved the camper the other day, and I couldn't believe the amount of trash was underneath it. Temptation. Do I want to get mad and aggravated? Do I want to go kick the dogs? Yeah, I want to go kick the dogs, but I can't do it. But yet, I think about what God can do for me. So I walk through the valley of the shadow of temptations on a daily basis. And that's where we need God as our friend. Because those temptations could lead us to the valley of the shadow of death. if we allow those temptations to become part of our lives and overtake us, God, in our lives. I kind of like that. I've been thinking about this a little bit too because I've never experienced it. You know, I had a brother that's 4 years older than me, and it's depressing to me to see some of the reactions from him. You know, he had a wife of 35 years, roughly, something like about four more years than what we were married. And he lost her to cancer. And he has just been a basket case ever since. And I think it's because he doesn't have any friends. I know he doesn't have any church friends. He doesn't have that church family. Sure, they went to church, but I don't think he went to church. I think he went with his wife to church. He didn't have any friends in the church. At the funeral, at the get-together afterwards, he was pretty much a loner. There weren't people talking to him like you would see at one of our deals, possibly, where we all know each other. And it's just depressing me. To me, right now, he is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He has made comments that scare me, that make me want to get in my car and go down there and, dude, what are you doing? Because I'm just convinced I'm going to open up Facebook one of these days and I'm going to find out he went off the deep end. And it scares me. But he just doesn't have God in his life that he can go to God and say, listen, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Temptations are taking me. Come help me. I have that. And I should be glad for that. But yet sometimes I think I forget that I have that opportunity to go to God for help. Proverbs chapter 18, the 24th verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If I'm going to have friends, I better be a friend of myself. And who sticks closer to us than God? In Christ. They're closer than a brother to me. I have a lot of I have three brothers, John, Paul, and Bernard. Okay, they're brothers. But they're nowhere near as close to me as I am to God. And they're nowhere near as close to me as I am to everybody sitting here this morning. Because you are true friends. You're not my brothers, but you are my brothers. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But you're what I call true friends. You know, I couldn't tell you anything about my brothers. I feel bad about that, because I have no reason to know that much about them because they have turned aside from the right way and they have no desire to be in the right way. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God and Christ will stick closer to us than anybody else in this life if we'll allow them to. They will be there for us. How do we know that? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fire furnace alone? Nope. I think God was right there and Christ was right there on their shoulder. They were right there with them, walking in there with them. When Daniel went in the lion's den, did Daniel go in by himself? Nope. They were right there on his shoulder. Couldn't see him, but he knew they were there. I assume they couldn't see him. I don't know these things. But they knew they were there, and they were delivering them. What brother of mine, if I say, hey, brother, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go jump in the lion's den, you want to go with me? Yeah, they ain't going to go with me. I don't think any of you guys would go with me because we're told not to tempt the Lord. Okay, God will deliver me if I jump into this lion's den. Well, that might be the day God's over there working with this guy and he is a little busy. Can't return my call. Oops. But it's told we're not to tempt the devil. We're not to tempt the devil. We're not to tempt Christ or God. That's one other thing I thought of last night laying in bed. Friends like you won't bring back the fact of a little slip-up when you're given a lesson sometimes and a choice of words, you know. Fiery darts. Okay, there, I got it. Yeah, they won't say, okay, Doug's getting up. Let's see if we can do it again. I doubt that any of you think about that until I bring it up every time. But true friends won't bring it up. True friends do not turn away in tough times. God didn't turn away from the three when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, did he? Well, it's getting a little tough for him down there. I got something better I can do over here. God did not turn away from Abraham when he was walking up the mountain, as Greg brought up earlier. He was there with him the whole time, but yet he had to let Abraham make the decisions. A true friend will not make the decisions for you, but he'll be there to support you and to make those decisions. Abraham chose to go up that mountain, because God asked him to. But God was with him the whole way. But God wasn't pushing him and prodding him up the hill. He had to go up the hill by himself. You know what? It's better to have a true friend than to have many false friends. I have friends at work, but I would consider them probably false friends because they're friends because they work with me on a daily basis. But yet, if it came right down to it and I called up and said, I really need some help, I doubt that they'd really need some help to help me. But if I call any of you guys and say, I really need some help, you guys would probably find it some way to drop what you're doing and come help me. I know that because we've had people go to Missouri and haul cars back for people. We've had people go to people's houses and bail out flooded basements. We've had people go to people's houses and shingle roofs that needed to be shingled right away. We've had people help build buildings back here because we know that we are true friends. So we are a true friend other than many false friends. False friends will come to light when you really have a need. And that's where we need to know that we have true friends in the church. But I have many friends in the church. I have church friends, but yet there are different levels of those friendships. I have friends in Kansas City, Missouri. I have friends in Excelsior Springs. You know, I got to thinking last weekend when I was down there, boy, it'd be kind of nice to have Andy Houseworth up here because I'd have somebody I could talk to about my job because he does the same thing I do. Here, I thought I was the only guy that did that kind of work. But, you know, I walked up to him and he's at our meeting. I said, you look at my host. He says, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that before. Of course, you know, he's taller than I am, so he has to get down closer to the equipment before he gets burnt. But it'd be nice to have somebody like that in a group that I could talk to. Bruce got a new job. He can tell you about it later. But we find out there's a person in Excelsior Springs, Brian Bound. I think it's Brian Bound, isn't it? Yeah, Brian Bound. Works for the same company. We get good reports from down there. That's a good company to work for. That's a good thing. We have friends in the brotherhood that know things that we don't, but once we can find out. But yet, I have friends here in Vandalia that will do a lot more for me than... But I can't go up to Justin and talk about fixing a combination oven, and Justin can't come to me and talk to me about backing an airplane out of a terminal. We should do job share sometime. I'll do yours, you do mine. But what's nice about it is we do have people we can talk to, and they can act like they're interested, and they can give us strength and encouragement. Hey, I had a bad week. Doug, I heard you were going to climb up on the timeout chair. What's wrong? What happened? I can talk about it. So, Mary Ellen, I'll tell you, you can ask me later about the timeout chair. I can help ask him for help in time of need. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. First John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Might be a little off for being a friend to somebody, but how many of us know of our brothers that have needs, and we shut up our bowels of compassion? I don't think we do. We find that we have a brother or a sister that has a need, and we open up our bowels of compassion for them. Okay? They're having a little bit of trouble. Need a little bit of gas money. I got a little extra money. Give them a little gas money. You know, we don't say, well, they'll find a way. You know, there's a bus they can ride. Well, I don't think the bus comes to Vandalia to pick people up, and I don't think the bus comes to Prairie City very often to get people to Des Moines. So we don't shut up our bowels of compassion on them. We have the ability to be compassionate, and that's how we can show that we are a true friend. Has God ever closed his bowels of compassion for me? I don't think so. In fact, I think he showed us how far he was willing to go in the fact that he sent his son to this earth to die for us. You know? Well, you're having a little trouble making your house payment this month? Well, I could sell my grandson there and get some money. Yeah, I'd have some angry kids, but, you know, we're not going to do that. Am I willing to give up what God gave up for me? Probably not, but God gave it all for us. Matthew chapter 7, 9 through 11. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Or what man of you is there whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? If my kids come to me and have a need, I'm going to find a way to supply that need. Whatever I have to do. If he asks for food, am I going to give him a piece of paper and say, here, enjoy this reading this while you're not having any food? No, I'm going to supply his need. I'm going to go to my savings account. I'm going to find out, hey, maybe I got a way I can come up with a little bit of cash to help him out. Because that's what a father does for his children. But I want to change that word once again. Whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If a friend asks for something, will you give him a stone? Is that being a true friend? If a friend comes up to you and says, I have a need, I really need to talk. I'm hungry, I haven't had anything to eat for a while. You know, we can drive by people on a street, and they got the signs all the time. I drive right by them. I really don't feel that upset about it. But if I was to drive by Justin standing on the side of the street, coming out of Vandalia here, says, I got no food, I'm probably going to stop. Now, it might be just enough to buy peanut butter and jelly, but that's that. Hey, I survive on that for a long time. But all joking aside, we will look for our friends that have needs, and we will give them what they need. If I saw Justin standing by the side of the road saying, I need something, okay, Justin, somebody might take care of you later. What's that going to do for him? That's going to make him not happy with me, for one thing, but it's not showing brotherly love and brotherly kindness either. So to have a friend, we must be a friend, okay? Now, tomorrow morning, I'll probably see Justin standing down by the side of the road. I need ice water or something. I don't know. He's going to test me, see what I do. But, once again, all joking aside, we need to be a friend. And there's a different kind of friend. I'm a friend of the world. I'm not going to go to my bank account and try to help a friend I work with. But I might go to my bank account to try to help a friend like Justin or somebody that needs a little bit of help. That being said, they're still sitting in a house with no air conditioning because I had to throw the towel in on it because I'm not an air conditioning expert. So he may be standing outside. I don't know if he can get in my air conditioned house. I don't know. But there's a line you have to draw when, you know, you can only go so far. Now let's think about God is our friend, and we have friends on this earth. But how is God better than our earthly friends? Well, they'll both listen to us, won't they? Earthly friends will listen to us or act like they're listening to us. But I don't think God ever acts like he's listening to us. He is actually listening to us when we're talking to him. But you know what? Our earthly friends may not keep secrets. God will keep our secrets. God knows before I talk to him what I need to talk to him about. But God doesn't go over and tap on Matt's shoulder or Justin's shoulder and says, you know what Doug's been doing? Well, first of all, probably all of them have heart attacks if God did that, because it doesn't happen. But you know what Doug's doing? Yeah, he's going to talk to me about it later, but I just want to fill you guys in first. No, God's not going to do that. God's closer than anybody we can have when it comes to that. Our earthly friends, we can't guarantee that. And our earthly friends can only aid us in our times of trials. But the Lord, God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. God is one person that can get us out of temptations. It tells us he will not allow us to be tempted above what we will stand, but will provide a way of escape. Doesn't say there won't be temptations come, but he will provide a way for us to get out of them. Kind of my weird little brain thinking. Have you ever considered the amount of sin and evil that's in this world and why it's there? It's because people are comfortable with it. They're friends to it. Their friends are friends to it. You know, I could be friends with a lot of people at work. There's about once a month, one of the guys will bring in, and he's one of the executives in the company, he'll pull in, he'll take the pickup truck home on a Friday, and he'll come in on Monday, and he'll have 7 bags, plastic bags, full, like we throw away out here, full of empty Bush Light cans, aluminum cans that they're going to cash in. But I think, man, that was one wild party over the weekend. But then when I start thinking, I wasn't invited, then I'm trying to become friends with the world. That temptation is beginning to take me. Oh, man, they must have had a good time over there at his house. But the reason I think there's so much evil in this world is people are comfortable with it. They don't feel tempted by it, okay? Only when we feel tempted by something do we get uncomfortable, I think. And that's where we need to be. We need to be uncomfortable with what tempts us. Because it tells us when we are tempted. Let me find it here. James 1, 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But when every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Okay? The world is full of temptations, is it not? The world is full of temptations. Sometimes I give in to those temptations. But the reason I give in to them is because I see it and I like it and I want to partake of it. And that temptation in the world could be a bad thing. I mean, there are a lot of temptations out there. But a temptation to me is my language. I have a lot of trouble controlling my tongue sometimes. I have a lot of trouble controlling my anger sometimes. Those are temptations to me. But yet another temptation could be things I partake in. Okay, I don't partake in alcohol or tobacco, but I partake in Diet Pepsis. I partake in chocolate pie. I could eat myself ugly on chocolate pie if they let me. But luckily nobody's tempted me with that so far. But that's a temptation that could be for me. But the biggest one would be language and my anger. A temptation is our actively searching for a level of comfort. That is why we need to stay closer to our spiritual friends, because they're going to help me through those temptations. That is why Steve and I took a lot of trips around I-465 back when we were younger. And there are days I think I need to climb on I-465 again. Oh, come on, Justin, it'd be nice. Huh? It'd be a long drive to get there, but it'd be nice. Well, I haven't figured a way to drive around Des Moines. You can't. You'd probably die quicker doing that than you would on 465. I don't know. But there are times when I need to be closer to a friend. I need to call up one of my friends, James. I need to go take a ride. Go take a ride with me. So Jason parks his lawnmower and gets in the car and takes a ride with me. Okay? But if I were to call John Gideon at work and say, John, get in the car, take a ride with me. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. No, I'm at home. I'm not going anywhere. But you as church friends would do that for me, I hope. In Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 1, Galatians chapter 6, it tells us, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. And that's one of the greatest commandments that Christ brought out. What do I do to be a friend? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you ever heard the term thrown under the bus? That's the way I felt when I made that little comment about the crayons and the chair. I made a comment that to one of the guys that was having a bad day week two, and I said, you know, I want to take a look because I want to see if there's tire tracks running up our backs and on our foreheads, because it just felt like we were getting thrown under the bus left and right this first couple of days last week. And I don't know if it was because I was tired. I actually went in and complained about a technician I was training with because this guy I was convinced he was going to throw me under the bus, so I wanted to get in there before I got thrown under the bus. But there's a term thrown under the bus. When you feel like all your friends have left you, nobody's with you, everybody's blaming you for what's going wrong. You know what? A true friend will not do that. I'm here to say I hope none of my friends in the church would throw me under the bus. I don't think they would. But a true friend will not do that. God will never throw us under the bus unless we turn from Him in open rebellion. Then He'll have no choice but to throw us under the bus. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to eternal, to repent and eternal life. But yet God also says some will hear the word and will depart from it. Luke chapter 9, starting in the 57th verse. Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass that as they went their way, in a way a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I shall follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That should scare me. How many times have I told God, wait a minute, I'm a little busy right now? Because I think I'm guilty of that a lot. You know, God expects certain things of me. Sure, I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Yeah, Wednesday evening. But yet, there was 2 weeks worth of meetings just went on at Dean Avenue and Pleasant Hill. And I only attended maybe 2 or 3 of those 10 days. Well, I feel bad. I wonder what people are thinking about Doug. Why can't Doug show up? And maybe wrongly I should think that. But to me, when I get to thinking that in my head, maybe I am placing other things ahead of God. Okay, maybe I need to be there listening to that. And that brings me back to this verse. You know, a man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fear of the kingdom of God. I wasn't looking back. I just had my hand on the plow, but I wasn't willing to go farther with the plow. I was willing to stop and wait. But you know what? God didn't throw me under the bus for that. God didn't send me a note down on the front door and say, by the way, Doug's not welcome in the building this morning because of what he did the last 12 days, not showing up at the meeting like he should have. You know, there wasn't a note on the door that I saw, so I could come back in. So God didn't throw me under the bus. I still have God in my life. I still have God in my life. And you know what? He's a friend. And he knew I was tired. He knew I had a shoulder hurting at the end of the day. He knew I wanted to go home, take some pills, and just sit down. So I think he understands. But yet, he still wants me to think of him. And he still wants me to be his friend. There is no friend closer than God in our lives, and Christ in our lives. There is no friend that has ever given what Christ has given for me. I had a dream last night. I told Mike about this. I dreamed that he found 2 motor coaches for sale in southern Missouri. Brand spanking new ones somebody didn't want. $100 a piece. So we drove down there and got them. This was my dream. I know I'm getting tired when I start dreaming about people I work or go to church with. We drove down and got them. And we got all the way back to Des Moines or Vandalia, and Joy didn't want both. She only wanted one. So I said, okay, I'll double your money. I'll give you $200. Charles, I'll give you $200 for them. He sold me one for $200. So I don't know. That's what friends do, I guess. They go down and do things like that. But sometimes I think I need to have God in my dreams and let God remind me of who I am and that He is closer to me than anybody else. Because God is closer to me. He has given me more than I'll ever deserve in giving me His Son. As we conclude this morning, we're asked to examine ourselves and realize that we do need to have God in our lives and Christ's sacrifice in our lives. And if we have not accepted His sacrifice, His death, burial, and resurrection, we need to be baptized and we need to make remission of our sins. We're given that opportunity as we conclude each service. And if for some reason we've fallen away, which we're likely to do sometimes, we never know, because like I said, we do suffer in a world of temptation. We're always given the opportunity to come back and make ourselves right as we stand and sing the closing song.